You were just listening to the Concerto for Didgeridoo and Orchestra by my guest, Sean O'Boyle, as performed by soloist William Barton, along with the Queensland Orchestra, conducted by the composer, my guest, Sean O'Boyle. Well, good morning. It is 6 minutes after 10 on Wednesday, August 8th, and you are tuned to WPRB, Princeton, New Jersey, community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM. Or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm with you for this program every Wednesday between 5:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. Now, I do switch gears at about 11 o'clock with more modern and electronic works on Classical Discoveries Goes Avant-Garde. Thank you so much for joining me. Well, today on Classical Discoveries, we are taking a trip to Australia and are listening to 7.5 hours of music of Australian composers in a program titled Classical Discoveries Goes Outback, Australia Revisited. From 8:30 up until 11, for almost another hour, I am being joined by the Australian composer and conductor, Sean O'Boyle, whose music we continue with now. Just listening to Winter's Breath by my guest, Sean O'Boyle, and our featured soloist, who was our oboist in that?
Sarah Maher is the oboist, and you heard me playing some tinkles on the piano in the background.
Wow.
And a string quartet.
Sounds good. And I have to say, you are probably here because of that wonderful presentation with the video of that piece.
Yes, our snowstorm last year in Manhattan, and I went out to the park and took some pictures and some little bits of video and put it to Winter's Breath, and you saw it.
And I saw it, and I contacted you because I love the piece so much. And the rest is history, as we say. And that was, I think that was our snowstorm. I think, we had a small one, in the third week of January or something like that, on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, I think so. I can't quite remember because we didn't have much snow.
Yeah, the only other one was that massive one at the end of October, which was totally, what a weird winter. And I was, of course, taken with the music. Well, Sean, you are a very prolific composer. You mentioned to me you have written 1,600 works that are in the, I guess, that have there's a record of, but there's more.
Yeah, there's 1,600 plus some others that haven't been recorded as yet, and some that haven't been performed, but there's a whole stack of art songs. Can I say stack of? That's very Australian. There's a bunch of art songs that I have written for Suzanne that we haven't got around to performing yet, but we will.
1,600 plus. Now, you haven't written much featuring the orchestra. How about works for solo instruments and smaller ensembles, other than the vocal songs you're writing?
Yeah, there's been a lot of chamber work in that. I was fortunate to write for a number of fine chamber ensembles in Australia, including the Australian Chamber Orchestra. And so there are a lot of works for smaller ensembles, as it were. In fact, Sarah Ma, she was in a group called the Southern Cross Soloists at the time. That's how that came about. I'd written a number of works for them, and she's a beautiful player, and we had to have a beautiful oboist on Winter's Breath, and we did.
Yeah, that is an unbelievably beautiful. And that was written for a TV series, you said?
Yeah, that was written for an ABC TV series called New Eden, and it was about the island of Tasmania with very few people, and they ran out of money to destroy the old buildings in the 50s. So it's actually looks like, you know, England, ancient England. It's fantastic.
Well, let's go back also, Sean, again, to the amount of music you've written. Do you compose most days?
Yes and no, most days, depending if we're on tour. I tend not to, although I have. There's a fun project based out of New York called the Vox Novus. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Heard
the
of
1 minute concertos.
Yes, yes.
And so sometimes I will, if I'm on tour, as always in Australia, I'll have a look and see, you know, what they've called for. And as a bit of a mind exercise, I'll spend a couple of hours and write a 60-second work. And I'm striking. What's that baseball thing where you have the perfect average? They've accepted every one that I've written so far.
Wow.
Which is great.
Batting 1,000.
I'm batting 1,000. There we go.
You're batting 1,000. Do you always feel inspired when you sit and write? I mean, it's a constant, you're writing tons of music.
Yeah, I like the visual aspects of writing music, as in I am inspired by visions, by great beauty of nature, by, you know, it could be a film where there's a fantastic sequence and, you know, music just comes into my head and I'm thinking, oh, that film composer should have written this sometimes, but it's, you know, it's everything in nature, everything around me inspires me to write something.
Wow, incredible. And we'll be talking a little bit later as to what you're working on right now. However, before we do that, we heard a piece for didgeridoo and orchestra. We're going to go now to a composition featuring the shakuhachi. Explain that a little bit.
Well, the shakuhachi is a Japanese end-blown flute. And it has, my memory might be a bit rusty, but it has only 5 holes. And so the pitches are made by not only the fingerings, but also the player bending the embouchure to get the range of the instrument. And in Australia, we are very fortunate to have a grandmaster of the shakuhachi, a fellow by the name of Riley Lee. And he and I met back in the 90s. That seems so not that long ago. But
no, it's not. But it is.
But it is now.
I was thinking just the same thing the other day.
Yeah, so we met in the 90s and... Riley played on a couple of things like Winter's Breath for some TV things for me. And then I had the opportunity to do a whole album with him. The orchestra rang me up, the Queensland Symphony, and said, oh, we have, in 17 days' time, we're supposed to have a week of recording, but that's fallen through. What do you have? And I said, oh, I've written a project for shakuhachi and orchestra. And the ABC would love to record it. And they said, that's perfect. Now, I hadn't written a note at that stage, so we had to tie it down in 17 days and make the album. So Riley sent me, FedEx me a bunch of books, and I researched a bit more about the shakuhachi. But I was struck by a tale of a young warrior called Atsumori-san, who in his first battle is killed and beheaded. And... When they were preparing his body, they found a shakuhachi in his bag, and the warrior who killed him realized that he had he had heard him playing in the enemy encampment the night before. So I thought I would write this piece.
Well, we hear it now. We listen to The Death of Atsumori-san by guest Sean O'Boyle. Riley Lee is our soloist on Shakuhachi, and joined by the Queensland Symphony, conducted by, you guessed who, my guest, Sean O'Boyle. You were just listening to music by my guest, Sean O'Boyle. And Sean, what were we listening to?
We were listening to Riley Lee playing his shakuhachi with the Queensland Orchestra and The Death of Atsumori-san.
And that was a wonderful piece. Again, we heard a didgeridoo piece, and now we heard a piece for shakuhachi. What other instruments more eclectic in classical music have you written for?
Eclectic? Those are the two eclectic ones. I have collaborated with many contemporary artists. A man by the name of Tommy Emmanuel, who's probably the world's greatest flat-picking guitarist, finger-picking style. Guitar Magazine's Guitarist of the Year many, many times over. And a wonderful jazz musician, James Morrison, in Australia, who plays any instrument he happens to lay his hands on. So the collaboration style... and I've done some work with some fabulous rock musicians as well, where we take their music and put it into an orchestral setting. So it's all
exciting
fun.
Every day. Something
fun.
New.
There's always something
new. Well, Sean, let's go a little bit about the, I guess, classical music scene in Australia. Living composers. Let's just go back to that for a moment. Are they well supported? I mean, do they have support?
Yeah, Australia has a thing called the Australia Council for the Arts, and that supports a wide range of art forms, including, music and composition. It's there also to support the major orchestras and opera companies and ballet companies. So they have, they have more money than the National Endowment for the Arts here, just for the music side of it.
Yeah.
And so some composers get really well supported, and they will have fellowships and lots of commissions that come through the Australia Council via the orchestras or whoever else. And others, like myself, I haven't been funded at all. I do my own thing and have, a record company and away we go. But there is a large level of support for the arts, but there's a bigger level of support for sports.
Yeah, well, this is here also.
Yes.
This is here also. And, we have to, the arts are so special and important. And I think the arts are what we need, and creativity in the arts to really keep going.
Yeah, well, we have to do is look at Gustavo Dudamel and where he came from, and that whole the system, and what happened in Venezuela, and to take kids out of gangs and off the street and drugs, and put a musical instrument in their hands and play, and now they populate practically every orchestra on earth, and it's been as a social experiment, it's been fantastic.
Talking about orchestral concerts, classical music, whatever you want, however you want to put it, is there interest among the young people in Australia?
Yeah, there's a huge interest. It has to do with the education system. When we went to Australia recently, I told you about the first thing we did, where we played at a ballet. But the second thing we did was a thing called Creative Generation, which brought 1,500 students from around the state of Queensland. Now, there are no school boards in Australia. Each state runs their own education system. So Queensland is about five times the size of Texas, and it has one education system that state-run, and the Catholic school system, and then some private school. So the state education, they have about 500 music teachers, and they teach strings, and this instrumental teachers, not classroom. Mm-hmm. So they have this massive resource out there teaching kids how they put instruments in their hands and say, you've got to play. So as a result, the Queensland Youth Symphony is one of the finest youth symphonies on the planet, and sometimes it sounds better than our professional symphony orchestras. And they tour Europe and Asia, and I'm not sure if they've been to America. But then on the top level of players, there are so many people who want to be opera singers and composers and instrumentalists. Then they tend to head off to America or to London for further training. Mm-hmm. And then eventually they all come.
They come back. Yeah. I was going to say, because you read about a number of the bios of a number of these composers. Like I was like a composer, I'm just thinking of that right now, that I played when you were walking in, Brenton Broadstock. He went to Memphis. He studied in Memphis here in the U.S., but he's now back apparently over there, Australia. And you read so many stories, and when you read the bios of the composers of Australia, that they were here for a short period and went back, And you hear that. Well, Sean, what do we have next? You brought some interesting material. That was the disc you prepared for the piano piece.
The piano piece. A show, I guess it's called a show. A show that I helped. Well, I wrote and toured around the world for a number of years, was much to my Celtic roots, a show called Scotland the Brave, where we showcase a lot of Scottish music. And we made a DVD a few years ago, which went gold, and we were pretty happy about that. And the one piece that was left off the DVD was the Scottish Piano Rhapsody. And the interesting thing about the Scottish Piano Rhapsody is at the end, there's a beautiful tune, because it's all Scottish tunes that I've orchestrated into a rhapsody, and there's a great tune called Craig Lee, which Australians know as Waltzing Matilda, but we actually stole it from the Scots, and it's called Craig Lee.
Very interesting. Who is our pianist?
Catherine Liner is our pianist, who's a Brisbane girl, and she studied at the conservatorium there and under a few great teachers, and she came to, we brought this to the Lincoln Center, and she played this piece on the stage of the Lincoln Center.
Music once again by my guest, Sean O'Boyle, who is not the conductor. It's a solo piano piece.
No, it's with the little orchestra.
Oh, so it is. And are you conducting?
I am
it?
Conducting.
Oh. I thought I would get you this one time, but I didn't. Music conducted and by my guest, Sean O'Boyle, who also was, of course, the composer. Thank you. You were just listening to music by my guest, Sean O'Boyle. Sean, what did we hear?
That was the Scottish Piano Rhapsody with some Scottish folk tunes, including Craig Lee at the end, and if any Australians are out there, or you might recognize that as Waltzing Matilda.
Yes,
it's actually a Scottish tune, a live recording with a small chamber orchestra and Catherine Liner at the piano.
Well, thank you. That was wonderful, Sean. And we'll have more of your music in just a moment. Well, I am here with Sean O'Boyle, and well, we're going to go to a composition where you are playing clarinet.
Yes, well, I'm playing clarinet. I had an electrical accident probably 20 years ago, and I didn't play for 10 years. And then when I came back to playing, my record company, the ABC, said, form a band, and we want to hear some really just nice music. So here's a track that I co-wrote with the pianist and organist Dale Rebick, and it's called Minutes and Moments. With me playing clarinet.
Very good. And we hear Sean O'Boyle as a performer and composer. Thank you. another side of my guest, Sean O'Boyle. You were listening to Minutes and Moments. My guest was the clarinetist and joined by his band, Blackwood, and that was from an ABC Jazz compact disc. I would like you to know that you can visit my website if you want more detailed information about any of the selections played today on Classical Discoveries. The address of my site is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. The detailed playlist for both of my programs, the regular Classical Discoveries and the Avant-Garde Edition, both will be posted by this evening, as well as the sound files for today's program. So if you didn't catch the whole program, you can listen to it later on. The sound files are up on my site for about 2 weeks. And my website address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. And Sean, people can find more information about you on your website. What's your... It's
very simple. Sean O'Boyle, no apostrophe, .com.au.
.au for Australia. And also, to make it easy, there will be a link to your site on the playlist from today's show on my website. So people will be able to click right on, and that'll be really great. Well, before we sign off our, this was a wonderful visit, I have to say, I want to talk about a couple of things. First of all, your special interest in bringing orchestral music to the very young. What have you done in that respect?
I have, with the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, I was very fortunate to write for and produce a number of CDs for young listeners, all very short pieces of music linked with a couple of actors and singers. And through that, I started being the conductor for a series called the Kiddies Cushion Concerts.
The Kiddies?
Kiddies Cushion Concerts. So the kids would come to the orchestral studio rather than being in a big concert hall, and the orchestral studio in Queensland could hold about 300 or 400 seated on the floor on their cushions. So they bought a cushion, and they're all under six, and they sit down, and we have a number of different shows, and we would do probably 50 shows a year for the little ones. And I'm
how
also
were they behaved? Was it
well? No, we wanted them to dance and sing along.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't the stuffy classical experience, because when I was growing up, I grew up in Melbourne, and I went to the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. And it was in the Melbourne Town Hall, 3,500 school children.
Yeah.
The conductor would come on, glare at the audience. They'd play Beethoven's Fifth and then glare at the audience again, and they'd all walk off. So there was no connection, even though the music was fabulous. So I thought that we should connect more, and kids do not know.
Make it an experience of everything.
Yeah, and they don't know that they don't know the rich history. They have no idea, who Vivaldi is. They don't really. If it sounds good, that's what they want to hear. And it was also a great way of getting some modern composers' music, including mine, into a show, because you could commission someone to write a 1 minute piece of whatever for a xylophone feature, and the kids would love it. So that was
wow,
a terrific thing to do.
That's great, wonderful work, Sean. Well, before we sign off with our last piece, and as we said, 2.5 hours went very quickly.
Did.
It's very hard to, it goes very quick. But before we sign off and hear our last composition, before we do that, I want to ask you about your interests outside of music.
Outside of music. I love traveling with my wife, Suzanne. We're fortunate to travel to great places on the earth. And that brings its own joys with some interesting food and different sorts of beers from all around the place. On the other side of things, I love the sport of cricket and rugby. Mm-hmm. And since moving to America, I adore ice hockey.
Ice hockey.
Yeah, hockey. I love the hockey here. It's just a fantastic sport. And we have a black Labrador, Libby, our princess, who turned 8 not long ago. And we love her, and we love to spend some time with her.
Sounds great, Sean. Now, what's coming up for you next season?
A lot of writing. I'm writing for the Brisbane Festival, a piece about New York called An Australian in New York.
Oh.
So kind of a bit of a reverse of the American
Gershwin,
in Paris.
Yeah.
And we live 4 blocks away from one of the Gershwin apartments, so it's quite inspirational. And I'm writing a piece for a percussion concerto for 5 percussionists. That's for the Concord Chamber Orchestra up in Milwaukee. And I'm writing a whole lot of chamber music, and also for another big Australian festival. There's interesting projects with interesting artists that mm-hmm. we're going to be with orchestra. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who the artists are yet, but I have been slated to be involved in that. So we're going mm-hmm. back and forth to Australia a little bit next year. And next year is a significant decade for me. It's my fifth.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So there's a few concerts planned, so we should have some fun.
Wow. Well, what are we going to sign off with?
We're going to sign off with a piece called "The End of the End of the Day," originally written for the Riley Lee Shakuhachi album, and then a friend of mine who we were planning on writing a massive musical together. He wrote some words for it, a fellow by the name of Matthew Little, and so a 16-year-old Irish princess is being wooed by her lover, but it's the end of the day, and it features Suzanne and a young Australian tenor by the name of Gregory Moore.
Well, thank you so much, Sean, and the end of the day, well, it's the end of your visit. Thank you
thank
so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure, and Suzanne, thank you also. And after we hear this final piece of Sean O'Boyle, I invite you to stay tuned because the Avant-Garde edition is coming up next and we will be staying with Australian composers. But we sign off now with music by my guest, Sean O'Boyle. Thank you again, Sean.
Thanks.
Oh, sweet moon who has descended from heaven, what have I done to have torn you from high? Can it be fair? Such a moon as thee, while all others must exist in utter dark.